Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this morning is taken out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, verses 45 and 46. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who was abandoned for our sakes, fellow redeemed in his blood. It happened at the Woolworths in the old Marquette Mall. I was shopping with my parents, my brothers and sisters, when I turned and suddenly found I was alone. My parents were gone. I walked a couple of aisles in either direction, looking down the aisles, hoping to see my parents with my siblings in tow, but I didn't see them. My fear grew into a grade 2 panic until I had convinced myself that I had been abandoned, left behind, and my parents were even then driving home without me. I did what any thoughtful child would do. I sat down and I started crying. Eventually, a kind lady found me and asked me what was wrong. Between heaves and sobs, I explained what was going on. She led me to the service desk, and between sobs, hiccups, and a heaving chest, I explained how I had lost my parents. When the needed information was received, the service desk clerk picked up the store intercom and said simply, would the parents of an Andy Schaller please come to the service desk? In hope I waited, with red eyes and puffy cheeks, until to my great relief, my parents and siblings appeared from another part of the store. I'm sure I then promised never again to leave their side, and they began developing ways to tether me to them. Whether it's happened to you or not, the prospect of being left behind or abandoned is a terrifying one. It's not only terrifying for children. I dare say it's more so terrifying for parents who have heard terrible stories about children being carried off, never to be seen again, save on the backside of a milk carton. Furthermore, we find it very difficult to understand how any parent would willingly abandon their child. It seems impossible to us to imagine how anyone would be willing to abandon their child for the sake of someone else. Except in one case. This morning we consider that exception and see how only Jesus would be willing to be abandoned by the Father for our sakes. Only Jesus would take our place in hell. May God the Holy Spirit guide us and open our ears and hearts that our faith and love may be strengthened through these words. Amen. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. It is truly a lonely feeling to be alone in the darkness. If you've ever had trouble sleeping, then you know that those late night hours in the darkness can be very quiet and very lonely. When you can't sleep, it's almost like you're the only one left in the entire world. When the first rays of the sun come over the horizon in the early morning, it almost seems like an old friend. We can understand then what the psalmist says when he writes, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. But it wasn't the darkness that was over the entire land from the sixth to the ninth hour that caused Jesus' terrible loneliness. It was, in fact, the terrible weight of our sin and the guilt that accompanies that sin. It was the darkness of our deep sin guilt that hung over him like a cloud of anguish. If we think that the scourging and the crucifixion themselves were terrible for Jesus to endure, then consider the burden of our sins and guilt. Remember that already in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus' sweat became like great drops of blood as he contemplated bearing our sin. Truly, the darkness of Good Friday afternoon was greatest in the heart of the Son of God when he was abandoned with our sin and guilt. In the Bible, sin is described as a darkness covering us. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people." And if you think about it, darkness is a fitting description for sin, because it seemed that sin flourishes, especially in darkness, under the cover of night. Isn't it true that sins like drunkenness and carousing often flourish under the cover of darkness? Why is that? Because people imagine that darkness somehow hides their actions, their thoughts, the things they've done. But that's really foolishness. Like a child hiding behind his own hands thinks that because he can't see, no one else can see him. Truly, if we wait to sin under the cover of darkness, we show that the darkness of sin has already pervaded and filled our own hearts. God knows. God sees all things, even the very thoughts of our hearts. Out of the darkness of Good Friday, the voice of the Christ expresses a still deeper and greater darkness. The darkness of separation from God. The darkness of hell. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It has surely become popular today for people to throw around the word hell. On a very hot day, you might hear someone say, without apology, "It's hotter than hell out today." Do they really think it is? I hope not. But it appears that either they do not take hell seriously, or don't consider it a real place, or don't understand how truly terrible hell is. Hell is a very real place where Satan and his host and all unbelieving human beings will be abandoned eternally by God. Hell will be a place of abandonment where its inhabitants are completely separated eternally from God's goodness. We can't even really comprehend what that's like because we live in a world where no one living is abandoned by God. No one living, not even the most wicked, live outside the umbrella of God's kindness and goodness. The rain doesn't only fall on your houses and not on your unbelieving neighbors. God's goodness is evident to all who live yet in their time of grace. But it will be hell to be completely abandoned by God, never again to see his goodness or kindness in any way. Hell will be a place of frustrated anguish. It's described as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. In Matthew's gospel, it said, "The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." We understand what deep sorrow is like. But what's anguish? Have you ever stopped at a store in your hurry to pick up the goods that you were sent to pick up, and then left them behind and walked off without them? I have. And perhaps the most frustrating thing of all is knowing that you had what you needed, it was paid for, and you left it behind, and now it's gone. Now, in that case, of course, I could purchase those things all over again. But the anguish of hell will be like this: to know that eternal life was purchased and won in Christ, offered to you, and you rejected it and cannot regain it. Hell will be a place of suffering, of punishment without end. It's described like a place always on fire, but where nothing is burnt up. The fire shall never be quenched. Their worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. Now, so would you be willing to be abandoned by God to endure such complete anguish and suffering? Would you be willing to take the place of someone else in hell? If you would answer yes, then you haven't been listening. Only Jesus would take our place in hell. He wasn't suffering in Gethsemane on Calvary because he had done anything wrong. He was himself completely innocent. But why was he forsaken? He was forsaken by the Father. He turned his back on his Son because he took up our sin and guilt and that of the entire mass of humanity. He there on Calvary suffered the separation of hell, the hell that we every day earn and deserve. You know the words of the hymn writer. Silent through those three dread hours, wrestling with the evil powers, left alone with human sin, gloom around thee and within, till the appointed time is nigh, till the Lamb of God may die. Only Jesus would. Only Jesus could take your place and my place, suffer abandonment from the Father, take the hell that we deserve. And he was abandoned there on Calvary so that you and I might never be left alone to face the consequence of the things that we do every day. He suffered the consequence of hell so that you would never have to. And now understand that even in your darkest hour, in your moments of deepest despair and depression, know this for certain: you are not alone. Jesus didn't only suffer hell for you and I. He rose again from the third day to stand by you. Like the rising sun in the morning after a long night of sleeplessness, Christ, the Son of God, arose from the darkness of sin and death to keep his promises to you, to stand by you every day, and to be received by him to yourself in heaven. No, to receive you to himself in heaven. Maybe you noticed a little earlier that I left off part of that passage from Isaiah. I'll read the rest of it now. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Only Jesus would take our place in hell. Only Jesus did then also descend into hell early on the first day of the week, that first Easter morning, to announce his victory, to proclaim it before the inhabitants of that dark place. Only Jesus can give you real hope in the face of death, when overcome by sin, when troubled by guilt. Only Jesus has paid the necessary price to give you eternal life. And that's why only Jesus is worthy of our everlasting praise and honor. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.